Great job. Hang on. Put your seatbelts on. Great job, Jacob. Hey, let's take our Bibles this morning and open our Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 13. I invite you to open your Bibles to Acts 13 this morning. Finishing up the 13th chapter by looking at 44 through 52. And if you're able to stand for a reading from the Word of the Lord, please join me in standing out of honor to God's Word. Acts 13, I begin reading in verse number 44. I'll be reading from the King James Version. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set before thee a light. I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief priests of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our journey on Wednesday nights, completing 5 books and heading into book 6. Sunday mornings, moving through the book of Acts and communion sets, psalms, one a month, and other special projects. Pray that you would bless the reading of your word this morning. Help us to not only hear it, help us to understand it, help us to be blessed by it. And this will take you opening our eyes and opening our ears, opening our hearts to the truth contained in your word. Lord, there were many lost listening to Paul and Barnabas, and there were many saved as a result of their message. I ask, Lord, that you would speak to hearts about, to Christians, build us up in our holy faith. For an unbeliever, Lord, save them today and do a great work of salvation in their hearts. Bless now as we continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the book of Acts is a book with a lot of names of towns in it, and names of people and groups of people, and it would be easy to just get out your map and really study where they went. And I love, geography is important. I love studying geography and studying the first missionary trip, second missionary trip, third missionary trip of the Apostle Paul, all exciting. But don't be overly distracted by the geography. Kind of listen to the message more than anything. That's how I approach the word. I enjoy my maps, but I enjoy the message that they're giving there in that. Sometimes we get into doctrine, and the book of Acts is is a book that contains doctrine, as do all books, but the main thing that they want us to focus on, I think, is that these were called to be witnesses. And these were called to be witnesses at any cost. And certainly geography is important, certainly doctrine is important. Someone says, don't tell me about doctrine, I don't want to hear about doctrine. And I say, well, what do you believe in? I believe in Jesus, and I don't need anything more than Jesus. And I'd say, that's right, you don't need anything more than Jesus. Tell me about Jesus. And when they start telling me about Jesus, they're in doctrine. They'll say, I believe in God, I believe in God, I don't need anything more than God. Tell me about, what do you think about God? And when they start telling me what they think about God, they're in doctrine. And tell me what you think about the Bible. But doctrine is here, it's a historical book as much as anything. But the idea of the book of Acts is we are called to be His witnesses. And God uses them very effectively. Luke presents the church as a body of believers. The book of Acts is a body of believers. They love to worship. They love to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let the chips fall where they will. Beat me if you want. Love it when you beat me. I guess I'm going to have to go on and tell the message of Jesus to someone else. And that's the way that we should be. To love Christ more than life itself. And that's the story of the book of Acts. Well, a week had passed since the last time Paul had spoken. We come to another Saturday, a Sabbath. He returns to talk to them once again. First time it was just Jews of the synagogue. It's like this time the whole city shows up to hear what Paul and Barnabas have to say. Their subject is this man. This man called Jesus, and there's no one like him. If God were to come to earth, he would be born in a spectacular way. Jesus was born in a spectacular way. If God were to come to earth, he would speak like no one ever spoke. Jesus spoke like no one ever spoke. If God were to come to earth, he would do great miracles. Jesus did miracles. He would control everything up to his dying moment. He would control the whole thing. In fact, they couldn't take his life. He laid it down for us. And so you say, well, if God would come to earth, he must be God. That's exactly what Paul is preaching to these, the whole town. All the Greeks come together. All the Jews come together. All the Gentiles come together. All the Socrates followers, they all come together to hear Paul and Barnabas talk about Jesus and the subject of the Messiah who was crucified and raised from the dead. If God were to come to earth, he would conquer death. Jesus did that. And they wanted to hear the story. First, I want you to see in this quickly with me, I want you to see something about their pride, if you will. And the Jews kind of bow up, and they have a learning curve that just never stops. And they bow up against the message of Paul. They loved it when he talked about God did this, God did that, God did this, God did that. He took us out of Egypt. He chose us as a nation. He gave us judges. He gave us Samuel. He gave us the kings. He gave us, gave. When Paul says he gave us Jesus, they bow up. And he starts talking about the Savior. And I want you to see something about their pride. But as I talk about their pride, I want to talk to hearts. There may be someone in this room full of pride, and pride is coming between you and your Savior. And if I can tear down that wall, I will tear down that wall under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Their pride. The second thing I want you to see is there were some who were proud. There were some who made professions. Many came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ in this text. And Gentiles in particular opened their eyes, opened their hearts, and said, Jesus for me, he's my Savior, I'm a sinner, I need forgiveness. And lastly, I want us to see beyond pride and beyond the profession, I want us to see the persecution that these suffered as they were literally evicted from the town. And what I'm doing this morning would be illegal in over 53 countries around the world. For me to open this book, read this book, explain this book, apply this book, I would be evicted from the town would be kind. I would be arrested for what I'm doing. Perhaps my tongue would be cut out. My life would be taken before my wife and my children. But there was, after the pride and after the profession, there was, it follows suit. One domino follows another. There is persecution as they are evicted and move on to Iconium. First, the pride in 44 and verse 45. When they came together, we're told, on the next Sabbath day, the whole city together to hear the word of God. He's going to deliver to them. Can you imagine that? The word of God. There is this famine in the land for the word of God. In so many places you might go, someone may read a text and then completely abandon it and go into their, or not give it any serious intent at all. He comes, not preaching a typical Jewish message. Nothing wrong with it. Jews are chosen by the Lord, or circumcision, or the Sabbath, or the moral law of God. He moves beyond. He completes. He's like Paul Harvey. He says, I'm going to give you the rest of the story. I'm going to tell you about Jewishness. I'm going to tell you about moral law. I may even tell you about circumcision. But to get the arrow to the bullseye, I have to tell you about Jesus. For Jews who come to faith in Christ don't leave their Jewishness behind so much as they become complete Jews, to recognize Jesus Christ as their Messiah, as their Savior. They are twice born sons of Abraham. They are complete. And we Gentiles, we are adopted in, we're grafted in, we're born again into the kingdom, into the vine, to become a part of Israel itself. So he delivers the word of God. You say, that really is too simplistic. There's nothing simplistic about that. When he says, if you've got a preacher, he says, what's he going to preach? The word of God. I'm in on that. He says he came and he brought to them the word of the Lord. Paul said to Timothy, this is a non-negotiable. Preach the word. In season, out of season, deliver the entire complement of the word, Old Testament and New Testament. First principles. Say, get back to first principles. Tell me what the first principles are. First principle, word of God. It is the hub that all the spokes come off of, and without it, you have virtually nothing. Let the lion out of the cage. Spurgeon used to say, don't defend the word of God. Just open the door of the cage. Let the lion out of the cage. The lion can defend himself. Paul preaches the word of God. He lets the lion out of the cage. And they may have liked it when he said, God chose Israel. Amen. God gave us, brought us out of Egypt. Amen. They would have said, amen. God gave us judges. Amen. God gave us Samuel. Amen. God gave us Saul. Amen. This is what he said earlier. God gave us David. Amen. Then he says, a ninth thing God gave is Jesus. And they said, oh my. And pride swelled up in their hearts. And they went back to their old ways. You would think they would be done with persecuting Jesus. In their mind, he's dead and gone. In real time, he deceased and he's risen again the third day according to Scripture, and now seated at the right hand of God on a glorious throne in heaven above. But they were not through persecuting Jesus. They began to reject. They began to blaspheme, to call him everything that they'd called him on earth. He's a drunkard. He's just the son of a carpenter, don't you know? He's a glutton. He hangs out with sinners. He is demon-possessed. Pride swelled up in their hearts. They would not recognize Jesus for who he is. And I tell you, he is no mere man. He is the Savior of the world. There's no other name under heaven or earth whereby we must be saved but at the name of Jesus. He is not in a class with 1,000 messiahs. He is the one and only unique Messiah, the Savior of the world. And pride swelled up. And they bowed up once again. And let me tell you something about pride. Pride made the devil the devil. There would be no devil if pride hadn't swelled up in his heart. Pride fills hell with lost souls. And there may be someone here today looking at Jesus, have been looking at Jesus, refused to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. There, you know, I grew up on the farm. Sometime you'd put a new gate in the fence, and there would be a bull standing there, like a bull looking at a new gate. I'm not going through that gate. Do not let pride come between you and Christ. Tear this thing down once and for all. God chose, God protected, God showed patience to Israel across the centuries. God eventually gave a Savior who would accomplish their salvation. When he started talking about there is forgiveness offered through Christ, there is justification offered through Christ, there's heaven offered, they would say, I don't need to be justified. I don't need to be forgiven. I don't need a pathway to heaven. I'm a Jew. Without Jesus Christ, you will split hell wide open. Sitting here listening to me today, the distance from this place to hell is tissue thin. And if you let pride stand in your way, you will have no one to blame but yourself. They bowed up in pride. Pride fills hell with lost souls. Pride makes you think, I don't need that. Pride makes you think, I know better. Pride makes you think, I'm smarter. Pride makes you think, I'm better. I'm prettier. I don't need what you have to offer. May God break our pride into a million pieces this morning as we worship together in this place. There was pride, open pride. There was an open public, there was public profession in 48 and 9. The Gentiles heard this. They were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed in the Lord. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. When he spoke about Jesus, the Jews were filled with jealousy and the Gentiles were filled with joy. It would be like the sun shining on two different objects. The same sun can shine on clay, and the same sun can shine on wax. And when the sun shines on clay, it gets harder and harder. And when the sun shines on wax, it gets softer and softer. When Christ was spoken to the Jews, they got harder and harder. And when Christ was spoken to the Gentiles, they got softer and softer. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Many Gentiles were saved that day when Paul and Barnabas waxed bold, gave an answer to them. The Gentiles were glad and believed through the efforts of Barnabas and Paul. They came to a saving faith in Christ. This is one of the clearest statements on God's activity in salvation is contained here. Did you see it? It's one of the, you say, Paul and Barnabas are working their metaphorical tail off. They are answering, they are preaching, they are waxing boldly. But there's a sentence in here about what the Lord has done. How does that read? It says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed on that day. You say, is that doctrine? Yes, it is doctrine. It is the doctrine of the good news of God doing a work in our hearts and in our lives. You say, well, doesn't that make us all puppets? And doesn't that make us all like some kind of puppets on the string, God ordaining, God calling, God choosing as many as were ordained to eternal life before the foundation of the world? Doesn't that make us puppets? What you see is this little phrase is sentenced between Paul and Barnabas leaving it all on the field. This sentence, this little phrase that many stubbed their toe on, and you know, as many as were ordained to eternal life believe, it's sandwiched between, again, them publishing the word and them doing a great work. Many would say, if God ordains to eternal life, why would I lift a finger to do anything if he's already got it ordained, it's cooked, it's sealed, signed, delivered, settled, then I can just sit at home and watch the Chiefs on TV or something. Don't get distracted by that sentence too much. Or I can just go... You know, I can go to Golden Corral. Don't get too distracted by that sentence too much. But what you say, these are mortal enemies that we would work and God would work. I don't see how you reconcile those two things, that we work, God works, and humans believe. I say you don't reconcile friends, that God in his economy, God in his majesty, God in his transcendence says, I'm going to purchase, I'm going to make a purchase, I'm going to choose, I'm going to call, but yet he sends us out as witnesses, to be witnesses for him, to wax boldly, to declare the word of the Lord and to publish his word far and wide. And these two things are not enemies, they're friends. And just rest in it that God is at work at all. Because I tell you, if you take that sentence out, we're all, of all men, most miserable. When I was pre-BC Christ, I would hear the gospel. It made no sense. BC, before Christ, I would read the Bible. I could not understand it. BC, before Christ, at the age of 14, God captured my heart. Opened my eyes. When Christ died, he made a purchase of sinners. You say, I don't understand it. Duh, he's God, we're not. Just rest in the fact that he has done this, and it is the doctrine of election is not an enemy, it's a glorious friend. It is a truth of truths. And I would say this, if anyone is saved, all glory goes to God. And if anyone is lost, you get all the credit for that. Because God has done everything he can to save you. Now, he is working in lives. He is working, and we are thankful for it. And give thanks to the Lord. John 6:65, no man can come unto me unless the Father enables them. We're told after this, the word of the Lord was published. They go back to work. They spread or carried the word of God across the region. They are stretching geographically. And they are working. Work, for the night is coming when no man can work. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But as they worked, God saved based on his sovereignty, so that the lost believing God saving are not enemies, but they are friends. You say, well, what was the outcome of all of this? God's at work. They're at work. Everybody's working. Boy, it looks like a big work day to me. As a result of this, they were evicted. We go from an open profession to open pride and open profession to open persecution in verse 50. But the Jews, they would have none of it, not convinced. You're not going to tell them about the Savior. And in verse number 50, the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women, and they stirred up the chief men of the city, and they raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and they expelled them, they evicted them, they threw them out of their coasts, and they shook off the dust of their feet, saying, okay, whatever, move on. I wouldn't have left without this. God's making me move to Iconium, and that's the way it is. And what do they leave behind? You say their work was in vain. They left behind a beautiful church full of saints, worshiping the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. And they would move on to Iconium to do what? To share the gospel and to plant yet another church for the good of others and for the glory of God. The Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women, the chief men of the city. They saw to it that Paul and Barnabas were persecuted. Their message didn't make any sense to them. It was though there were blinders on their eyes. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto the saved it is the power of God. Paul would write to the Corinthians, the natural man can't understand. It's the Spirit of God that's going to bring you the understanding. Wrestle with these doctrinal truths. They're dynamic, glorious truths. Wrestle with them and rejoice. The Jews had a great deal of influence among the people. The Jews could stir it up. The Jews could stir the metaphorical pot and get the natives out of bed and say, you get yourself out of here, Paul and Barnabas. And they had great power among the people, but the Jews had absolutely no power against God. God is unstoppable. God will do as He wishes and as He plans. And I don't have a small God. I have a great God. And I'm thankful that I have a God that man can twist and turn, make their plans, do their things, and spew their filth and blasphemy, but God is going to accomplish His will on earth. I'm praising the Lord for that. The Jews had a great deal of influence among the people, but they had no power when it came to battling God. They scattered Paul and Barnabas from their midst. They sent them, you get on out of here, go to Iconium. But Paul and Barnabas left behind a young, thriving church full of new believers. We're told at the end, the disciples were filled, not with rage, not with pride in verse number 52, not with anger, not with blasphemy. They were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So like Paul and Barnabas, we're given opportunities to share the gospel. God is going to do a work as we share the good news of Christ. When they went, they encountered joy in 52. When they went, they encountered jealousy. When they went, they encountered pride. When they went, they encountered open pride, open professions, open persecution. But they went to share the good news of the gospel. And I will just say this before, as I close, you resist the message of the good news of Jesus Christ, you are spelling disaster for your soul. This is suicidal. You do not want to reject the message of Paul and Barnabas. You do not want to reject the message that I'm giving you today. There's one Savior. His name is Jesus. Run to Jesus. And but to accept their message, to embrace their message means heaven. To reject their message means hell. There is no middle ground on this message. And like Paul and Barnabas, may we be faithful witnesses and then leave the results to God, who is at work. The unseen hand is here. And I pray that the unseen hand of God would open your heart to faith in Christ, and that you would come today with Him as your Savior. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for a message about what happens when the gospel is preached, what to expect. Don't expect your name to be written up in the who's who. Don't expect there to be awards, accolades, and crowns. They're going to kick you out of town. But Lord, the message must be shared, the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's someone here today that has been fighting pride, I don't see that I need to be saved. I don't see that I need to be forgiven. I think I'm smarter than God. Lord, would You tear down that wall of pride and bring them today to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There may be others that need prayer. They're going through. We're entering that Thanksgiving season. We're nearing that day of Christmas celebration. And family issues, invitations are being sent out for a Thanksgiving banquet. Lord, there may be those who need prayer. Prayer today over their life. Prayer, thinking you don't see that you're Your eyes are closed, your ears are plugged, your mouth is duct taped. They just don't think you're involved. When Paul and Barnabas went into this town, you were actively involved in that. And you are actively involved in everyone's life in this room. I pray that if someone needs prayer today, that they would come. If someone needs a church home, when they left this region and moved on into Iconium, they left behind. They not only led souls to Christ, they planted churches. There may be someone here today that needs a church home. Our business is the business of Paul and Barnabas. Our business is the business of heaven. And so, Father, whether someone needs salvation, needs prayer, or needs a church home, may they come today. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.